It is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's time for Cover Your Assets. Jim, of course, is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and politics. He brings over 40 years of experience to these subjects and more. And Jim, Jill, and I get together on a weekly basis, sometimes arguing with one another and sometimes agreeing, but with all our own independent thoughts and personalities. And we welcome in the man who controls the plan, Jim Lynch.
Good morning, Jim.
You know, Jim, I say that, Jim, because I get some people that say to me, boy, you, Jim, and Jill get going there in your little 25-minute segment. And I say, well, that's the great thing about it, because we're all friends. We don't get mad at one another. Sometimes we agree and sometimes we disagree.
But we always get to say the opinions expressed are those of ours, just, you know, because otherwise that gets really dodgy. Yeah.
So people don't understand that you can have a vociferous discussion and still be friends.
Spirited debate.
Before you say something, Jill, just let me add one thing. That's marvelous that you've had that conversation with some folks, because that's an example of what we need more of in our society, the ability to talk, to debate, to have a different point of view, and then come away and say, well, that was fun. Maybe I learned something. Maybe I didn't. But I part with a smile. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah,
sorry, Jill.
No, we just need more people to part with a smile, because people are now – this is my opinion, but they're fully programmed to just pick the part that they agree with and think that the other two bits are just, you know, well, sorry, they're stupid.
Yes, yes, unfortunately.
Have you lost your voice?
No, I just had a sip of coffee.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that was it. God forbid I lose my voice.
I know. God forbid you lose your independent voice.
Because I never was much for making a good fire, so the smoke signal would be rather limited. As my children years ago would tell you from some of our camping exploits. That said, go ahead.
Before we get to the independent political stuff, I had one of those experiences that has tormented me. And because the show is originally Cover Your Assets, this is still originally, it's Cover Your Assets, but it was a little more financial. It goes back to that. So, Dr. Lynch, I'm going to sit down on my couch and try and calm down. Do you remember why, and Marshall's heard this, so he can probably tune out, and I'm sorry, Marshall, in advance. Do you remember why bank cards were invented? Why Visa? I mean, before the great addiction to plastic and that wonderful profiteering. Sorry, guys. Do you remember what the big selling point of a bank card was?
Oh God, you're really testing me on that one. You really are.
It goes back like what 40? It goes back 50, a good 50, 45 years.
I honestly don't remember. There's been so much water under the bridge
over the dam.
Credit.
All right.
Over the dam and up the hill.
Right. Okay.
Go ahead. Why don't you enlighten us?
It was so that you could go different places and be able to use a card that was accepted at different merchants instead of having to write a check and then give two forms of ID and et cetera.
Okay. That general concept I do now remember, because it was at the seat of their marketing for some time. I can go back to when it was Diners Club and then American Express. Yeah, go ahead.
And then Visa and Master. Anyway, fast forward X number of years, because we had a little incident. We frequently have incidents with Bank of America. And my mother raised me to be very skeptical of monopolies. But that being said, we had an incident where apparently there was a massive merchant breach, which, of course, they won't tell you who it is. And our cards were replaced. But the good people at Bank of America or whoever did that didn't let us know that any of that had happened. So we only found out when the cards were deactivated. Which, as you can imagine, set me incandescent doesn't begin to describe it. Because then I had to persuade them to reactivate the cards because there are people out using the blah, blah, blah. Okay, so that's 5 hours of my life that I'll never get back. But on the seventh hour of, you know, just sort of cleanup and the staff work, I spoke to a lovely woman in Arkansas, and they are now, you know, because everything has basically been hacked, there's no privacy, there's no data, you know, it's accessible to anyone who wants it. They've put in place new security measures, which is so like closing the barn door after every single horse is nowhere in the vicinity, but that's okay. Anyway, she told me that that one of the reasons for a problem that I was having was that someone in Florida was using the card. And what I needed to do was anytime any person who had the card traveled, I needed to let them know so that the card wouldn't be blocked and thought of as fraud for the nice computers. And here I am, doctor.
Well, are you being compensated or have you asked for compensation?
No.
For the inconvenience, I'm certain you've had some snafus.
Yeah, they're not interested in any compensation. This is just now the way that it is. So it's
all right.
Kind of.
Is there any reason why you can't change your credit card?
I suppose we've got other cards, but that would probably be a good thing to do.
Well, what I would do before closing the card, I'd call them and say, look, you've caused me all kinds of inconvenience. I now feel like I'm somewhat of a slave to your business. You're basically interfering with my right of travel, my freedom to travel, by saying that, you've got to alert us when we go to California or to Europe or wherever we go. I mean, obviously, people travel more now than before this card ever came into existence. And it was sold, the concept of travel, a big plus in a big marketing was you could put it on the credit card. So, but see, here's an infringement on your personal rights as I see it. I remember many years ago, the first couple of times I went to Europe, I was told, you know, okay, let the card people know you're going to be somewhere other than the United States. This is many, many years ago. And it made sense because the whole world had not kind of tuned in to credit and this, that, and the other thing. But now, totally inappropriate. This gets, in my opinion, first of all, I would call them and say, I'm killing the card. I have a number of cards. I want some kind of compensation. I want at least a letter from you apologizing for the inconvenience and detailing why you want this. You know, who are you to act like Facebook in terms of monitoring my information, monitoring my travel? You know, we're talking about hacking, and you call whatever number they tell you to call and say, well, okay, I'm gonna be in Toledo and Ohio for the next week or so, so I'll be doing the card. Somebody hacks into that, they know exactly where you are. Now, it might seem far-fetched. It used to feel far-fetched. But you look at what Facebook has done. All of your information, whatever that means, is on it. How many of these things, like Google and so forth, have our information? This is another example of it. Now, here's the bigger picture. Lobbyists, remember those guys? They are so, so, so significant in what the banks can and cannot do. And the banks pay them millions of dollars. It's out of control. The other thing is the current administration has been shutting down the Consumer Financial Agency, which was set up by Senator Warren to help people with their difficulties with banks or credit cards or predatory lenders. And now this administration is basically pulling it down so that another safeguard that you have as a consumer, you are in the process of losing or have lost. There you can write your congressman and tell them, I don't want this agency eliminated because you're limiting my right as a private citizen to deal with these big banks. I mean, this example, in my opinion, truly points to this problem we have about we've succumbed to the credit card, and now we are a slave to it, some of us, in terms of credit, but we've basically been giving up our independence all the time. And all of that information to get the card is in there, and they make you update it, and now they want to make you update the where you're traveling. This is going to be facetious, what I'm going to say. The next thing you're going to find is that, well, we have checkpoints in that city, so just show up with your card. We'll make sure it's you.
Yeah. No, it's kind of amazing how it's evolved, and I just wonder, again, if you don't know the historical context of it, and you don't know that as a consumer you do have options. When I say options,
go ahead.
No, you're paying. You're paying for their money. You're paying a lot.
There's no question about it. The only thing you have is your right to walk and walk away from their business. And I think if you want to exert your energy and get rid of some frustration and maybe get a decent acknowledgement as a human being, I'd write them and say, let me hear from you. Tell me all about this. I can remember countless years ago, someone was traveling to St. Louis with their children. And they basically got caught in a snowstorm going out to the airport, had not been alerted by the airline not to come out. And you know what happens after that. So I write the head of, I think, of United Airlines. And don't you know, in those days, I got a letter back. I forget if we got some money back, but that used to be the way it was. They used to be interested in us as people. They are not. They are not. You're a product. And the sooner you understand that and deal with it, you don't have to accept it, but you have to deal with it. So that would be my two cents.
Yeah, I think that that's good. And we sort of touched upon this last week, just very briefly, is that as life is still service oriented, even though you are basically being treated like a little chip, like a little bit of data. But if you squeak and you say, well, actually, there's a human component here, you have more leverage than I think a lot of people realize.
There's no question about it. And in your letter, you might say, and by the way, you know, I'm a public person without necessarily giving them your bio on it. I'm a public person, and I speak to countless people in my area. And I'm just telling you that in normal conversation, I bring this up to them because it's very upsetting to me what you've done. And I frankly get, as you probably do, from the people I speak with, that same kind of feeling of being trapped in this computer box as a number. I think it's very important that we all exert whatever right we have in terms of strength with these the banks and with the government. You know, let's talk the government for a minute. Right now, there's a man named Scott Pruitt who's basically been spending our money on a security detail of 30 on a bulletproof desk, on living in a lobbyist place. The lobbyist, one of the biggest lobbyists in D.C., has appeared before Scott Pruitt as the EPA administrator. Why isn't he out on his behind? Why is it that we're tolerating this kind of behavior? When indeed the president or current president of the United States has run on the fact that he's going to drain the swamp. This is egregious, but it's indicative of how the government they're in such a position of power, particularly when we have certain people in putting money in their pocket as they're running their office. So I'd write on that as well. But you should be aware. It starts with the lobbyist, however, folks. You'll notice lobbyist is involved in the Scott Pruitt situation. He took a trip to Morocco, and he took a trip to Morocco to solicit the government there to do business with Cheniere, a liquid natural gas company. That is an energy agency situation. That is not an EPA situation. What was he doing there? This is the sole company here in the USA that is exporting liquid natural gas. And guess what? Guess who owns a big interest in Cheniere Energy? You look it up. It's Carl Icahn. Carl Icahn.
There's a name.
There's a name.
I-C-A-H-N.
Trump, yeah. Trump couldn't get over himself during the campaign saying, oh, what a wonderful guy he is and this and that. And so he was appointed something. And then a couple of days after he was supposedly appointed, Trump said, oh, no, he wasn't appointed. And then subsequently, Trump gave him a heads up before he put the steel tariffs on. And Icahn sold $33 million worth of stock. Folks, it's a network here of grifters, people taking money from you under false pretenses.
But, Jim, I always look at the funny side of things or the other side of things.
Is there another side?
with this guy, it was because the last thing in the world, this guy, he's a sharp cookie and a smart cookie. Last thing in the world this guy was going to do was serve in President Trump's cabinet. Wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to happen. He wasn't going to get involved in something. He's a smart businessman because the Capitol Hill is totally different than private business. So he's just sitting back and reaping the rewards of supporting Donald Trump. That's the flip sad side of the story.
Yes, sir, it is. It truly is. And we're sending troops to the border of Mexico. 2,000 at first, maybe as many as 4,000. We'll be spending millions of dollars. What are these people going to be doing? They're going to be repairing the fence, the little fence that's down there. They're going to be in the operations room scanning the border, much like the agents down there already. We're basically allowing the current president to waste money, millions of dollars, on a frivolous enterprise, which is only meant to satisfy his ego and to some degree satisfy his base.
You know where those...
I find it mind-boggling, absolutely mind-boggling, and I don't know this is a fact, but I keep hearing how Trump's base continues to support him. I mean, folks, I don't think we've ever seen such stupidity on the part of our citizens if they're truly, truly supporting this guy.
Yeah. I want to talk about the troops for a moment. I've been a vocal person over the past 10 years thinking that instead of having hundreds of thousands of troops all over the globe, we should bring back 20,000 to the United States. But here's what I want. Here's where the troops would do the most good, and I think where they're the most needed. They should be put in every major port in our country where they do have the authority, if they find terrorists, to shoot, to kill. They should be put in every airport, major airport, and we are so underserved when it comes to the ports of this country where things can get in. This is where the military that we're paying anyway, the ones that instead of going to do the wall, those 3,000 or 4,000 people, imagine if you put them in the ports and doing examinations and guarding terrorists in the ports of the United States, which right now are almost completely not protected. And also, I do believe they should go in the airports. I think that you should have them in the airports. I know it would look strange to people, but it would be very safe. That's something smart you could do with the troops, not sit them on a wall where they can't engage. They can't engage.
I totally agree with you. I had that very poor thought many years ago. I can't remember when. something had happened at one of the ports, some things had come in and so forth and so on. Let's talk airlines. I would have no problem with people who are in uniform with machine guns standing around doing whatever, being available. We had police here several times in New York City at the train stations, at the trade, at various places around the city. You know, they were called out for a period of time, again, heavily armed and so forth and so on. As long as they're identifiable, as long as we're given the information, why not? Why not, when we have people out there who are willing to kill themselves and us? But let's get to your point. The point is, as citizens, we want value for the taxes we're paying. And we love the military. We truly do, all of us. And Trump always overplays that. But we love them because they're serving. And the point is, let them serve in a way that benefits more people and more safety. I can assure you the airlines don't want them out there in at JFK and so forth because they think, oh, people will be frightened, oh, you know, marketing, oh, this, oh, that, rather than taking the other thing around and saying, hey, we can go to somebody if there's difficulty.
Yeah. Well, we have about 30 seconds left, Jim.
30 seconds? What are you doing 30 seconds? Well, I'm breathing. I'm still breathing. Anyhow, it's been a pleasure. It's really been a pleasure. We had a good conversation this morning. Not that we always don't. Just be remember, you are a citizen. You have rights. Look at your Constitution. These banks are not your masters. Don't allow them to be. And I awoke with this to tell you, and it's very simple. One, be aware, and as a very old friend of mine used to tell me constantly when we talked, check it out.
There you go.
Check it out, okay?
All right.
Most important things in your life is your family and yourself and your kids. God bless you all. You have a good week. Talk to you next week.
Take care, Jim.
Bye. You too. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.